It's the Matt Popala Show here on Radio 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio in the historic Tribune Tower building on Michigan Avenue. It's a beautiful night downtown in Chicago. Actually, the lights are pretty. It's pretty dark out. I guess what if the Christmas lights all finally came down or something? Something's different out there. It is darker than it's been. Okay, have you been sitting by the television every night, tuned in to NBC, watching the Olympics, or tuned into NBC? There's like five different channels it's on, but there is Olympics on day and night in my house right now, and we're enjoying every moment of it. Our friend Andrew Wittenberg from KSL TV in Salt Lake City is in Pyeongchang, and he jumps back on the phone with us. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
How's it going, Matt? Good to see you. Good to hear from you, and hope you guys are doing well.
We are doing fine. It's good to chat with you. I'm wondering, just said to me, Andrew sounds a little tired, and we're thinking, it's been a couple, you've been there a long time now, Andrew. Are you getting worn out, or how's it going?
Doing okay. It's actually kind of a down day for us a little bit. As far as coverage goes, we had Nathan Chin, the figure skater, go a little bit ago. But aside from that, we haven't been too crazy today as far as having to run around. So that's actually been nice a little bit. But yeah, it gets to be a little bit of a long trip after a while. We've been here since the 5th or whatever. So yeah, long, long trip.
So about 12 days now you've been in Pyeongchang. That is a long time. And do you stay until the closing ceremonies?
Yeah, we're here until the 27th, actually, is when we fly back. So we've still got a ways to go yet.
All right, that is a long time. Now, you mentioned Nathan Chen, and I don't know what happened, and I'm not going to ask because I'm sure that just aired live if he just went, but that'll be, I'm sure, featured prominently on NBC later today. But so was that his long program then or short program? He did one the other night, I know, and it did not go well.
Yeah, that was the short program a couple of nights ago here, I guess, actually two nights ago in the United States. But then the long program, the free skate, just wrapped up. It was in live in prime time on NBC, I believe, last night. So I don't think we're spoiling anything. But,
okay.
Just had a tremendous program, and I think did what everybody thought he was going to do the whole time. And he came through, and he broke the record for quad jumps. He did six of them.
And he landed
program,
them?
His free skate. Yeah, landed them, looked great. And just no one seems to really know what got into in those first couple of performances, other than maybe it was just the pressure. I mean, he's still a teenager.
Yeah, you feel so bad for him, and you know, there's so much like America is riding on him, and NBC, quite honestly, you know, it has to figure out ahead of time who are the big stars going to be, and they prepare those packages and get everything ready to really, you know, get us emotionally involved in these athletes. And then the poor guy goes out there and just has such a tough short program, and he fell multiple times. So, and he was like in 13th place or worse after that first round. So as great as he did, there's no chance for him to get back into medal contention, right?
Right, yeah. He was out of medal contention for all intents and purposes. He would have taken some big errors by the Japanese guy who was in front of the guy where they throw all the Winnie the Pooh dolls.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw that.
Yes.
They throw all the Winnie the Pooh bears on the ice after. It would have taken something for him, you know, I guess. But he finished in fifth. So he really...
Wow, he really did work his way up. Yeah.
I think it was the fifth highest Olympic score in history for a long program, or the free skate is what they call it now.
Yeah.
But it's just he did well. But I actually talked to Scott Hamilton late last night, which is early, you know, Friday morning or Saturday morning. And it was one of those things where he said, you know, I've talked to all the people that I know inside the figure skating world. I've talked to all the beat writers, talked to all the experts, and watched every performance, every practice, and you can't come up with anything. It wasn't like an illness. It wasn't some undisclosed injury, and maybe it could be something as simple as what seems to be the obvious explanation is that it was just the pressure.
Yeah.
That, you know, builds and builds, and like you say, he's probably been hearing about it for months now. He's been seeing all the stuff on TV, doing all the interviews for weeks and weeks building up to this, and, you know, just perhaps was a pretty bad time to have a crummy week as far as execution goes.
Yeah, that will happen to people. And now is Nathan Chen basically done because they already did this team thing? Now he had this. He doesn't have anything else to do, right? His Olympics are over?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, from time to time, we've seen like an exhibition skate over the course of the years in the Olympics, but there's still, I believe, ice dancing yet to go. But as far as individual competition, yeah, that's wrapped. That's it. Well, there's let's not forget about the women's. That's next week.
Yeah.
But for Nathan Chin specifically, yeah, I think he's done.
He is done. What is, you know, we've been really enjoying snowboard cross and skeleton. What has been in the speed skating? I mean, there's a lot of the Olympics. You've been covering them for a while, Andrew. Are they evolving to bring in millennials more? Because some of these sports are just much more exciting than when you and I were kids in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just cool changes that have taken place, or they're trying to, I guess, bring in more of the sports that people are excited about these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, it's an evolution thing. And I think the Olympics has had to, the entire Olympic program through the IOC, both summer and winter, has had to go through a real learning curve over the last 10 years. And figure out a way to make themselves relevant. And I think they've done it more so in the Winter Olympics with some of the more progressive sports, you know, like you mentioned, the snowboard cross, which, I mean, it's just been thrilling. And we had an athlete from Park City that we were following pretty closely, Faye Galini,
mm-hmm.
Who was just great and just kind of came up short, didn't make it out of the quarterfinals. Mm. But, you know, those are great. And the slope style skiing and boarding, we'll be watching McCray Williams tomorrow. He's a Park City guy that's into the slope style stuff. It's just great to see that, because I think that's where the future lies. Like you mentioned, you know, when we were growing up, it was like, wow, this luge thing is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, they go and they take it to the next level, and they had skeleton, which was like, I think started in 02. And then they've started adding in some of the more X Games type sports. And I think that's really helped, because those have done really well in prime time. And as far as ratings and attention goes. So, I mean, yeah, I think you have to do that. And I think the IOC has done a pretty good job, particularly in the Winter Olympics, and modernizing a bit.
I'll tell you, Andrew, I've been saying this for years, and people always argue with me. I can't find anybody else to agree with me. But I think the Winter Olympics are like 10 times better than the Summer Olympics. I will watch freaking curling. And in the Summer Olympics, it's, you know, they're running. Okay, they're running. They're jumping over things or whatever. It's just not as exciting as the Winter Olympics are to me. I just think there's just a lot more fun and excitement. And I don't know. The Winter Olympics, there's something about them that just grabs me a little bit more. A story is out that we're reading here that the opening ceremony was hit by a cyber attack. Are they talking about that at all over there? Are you talking about that with anybody?
We heard some of the notifications about it, and I saw some of the headlines back in the States. I mean, nothing that I noticed as far as any sort of problems connecting to anything, or, you know, other than, say, the Wi-Fi might get a little slow when you're around a huge crowd of people. Yeah, I haven't seen anything personally to give me any sort of indication that I had been hacked or there'd been any sort of data compromised or anything like that. But then again, I don't know that I would have noticed it in general at all. Yeah, we saw that it had been hacked and that there was connectivity and, oh my gosh, the problems. But again, I didn't experience anything personally, so I can't speak to it. But yeah, we certainly seen the news about there had been something going on with some sort of hack on that Friday. But I honestly couldn't tell you anything from a firsthand experience that I noticed that was anything amiss.
Sure. So they say that, you know, the website stopped working, couldn't print tickets, Wi-Fi went down in the stadium, TVs and internet at the press center went down. I haven't read about this, but I know there was supposed to be a big drone show at the opening ceremony that didn't happen. Was that weather related, or was that because of technical issues, and could that have been part of this?
Well, we talked briefly about this last Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
And when you were asking about it, and there was news that had come out that they had anticipated this intense drone show. And the explanation we got at the time was it was extremely cold, it was extremely windy, and they didn't want to take a chance on anything being wrong with the Winter Olympics. And they had actually shot video of something similar like months ago that actually ended up airing in part during ceremony that was part of it. But we saw the Olympic rings in the sky that did go on the broadcast, and I'm not sure if that's what it was or what it wasn't, but typically, and the reason I'm sort of being a little wishy-washy is it's not exactly like you get a really good explanation of
right.
things, the IOC, just about anything. So we don't know exactly what was compromised or what wasn't, or if that was even part of this hack. But, you know, like I say, I think anything, if you ever go to a Cubs game or whatever, you know the Wi-Fi is going to be a little slow in your people. And so that's about all that we noticed. We're like, oh, that's weird. It seems like the Wi-Fi is a little slow, or having a little trouble connecting to the network, but, you know, that's not unusual around a big crowd of people. So to say that we were, like, immobilized or anything would definitely be not the way I would put it, but something could have happened, perhaps. And the explanation that we got initially from opening was that there was something that they just didn't want to chance with that drone show, and so that's why they didn't go through with it.
All right. Well, that makes sense, and that could very well be, you know, what happened. What do you make of, or what is being talked about there, about the Olympic athletes of Russia? When it came out that this happened, that they're banning Russia from the Olympics because of this intense doping in Sochi, okay, we took that. And then they say, well, we're going to let athletes in if they haven't been proven to have, you know, taken part in it, and we can't prove it, then we have to let them in. So literally, there are hundreds and hundreds of athletes. And I can understand the individual athletes, I guess. But it's weird to me that there is a hockey team that's Olympic athletes of Russia. I mean, what is the difference between just letting the Russian? I mean, either they're in or they're not. Do you? How are people taking it there? Is it odd or weird that they've done it sort of really halfway like this?
I'd put it this way. Yeah, it's odd for me, too, because I think the same thing. I'm like, well, clearly they're all Russian. You know, and you see some of the hockey players that are former NHL guys that have gone back to the KHL that are sort of names, you know, and you're like, wait a second, yeah. What's going on here? This seems kind of weird that you guys are just Russians. But, you know, they passed, I guess, any sort of drug testing recourse that they had to go through, and they're in. But yes, it's weird. And actually, I know this sounds really strange, but I was eating at the McDonald's yesterday in Olympic Park because I wanted something that was just familiar and seemed normal to me. So I was eating at the McDonald's, and there's this long line to get into the McDonald's at Olympic Park. There always is, for whatever reason. And it's not like there's not McDonald's in South Korea. They're everywhere. But in Olympic Park, for some reason, everybody wants to eat at McDonald's. So we're in line, and I see all these people come up with, like, Russian hockey jerseys on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, you do the old, oh, are you Russian? Do you speak English? And like, yeah. And, you know, we start kind of joking around a little bit, like, oh, how's everything going, you know, with the... And we're just talking to these people, and they're like, yeah, it's fine. It's no big deal. We knew it was going to be fine. We knew that there were going to be Russian athletes here, so we came anyway. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't seem like it affected the proverbial Russian fan who was going to make the trip to the Olympics as a fan and a spectator to be here. So, yeah, it just kind of seems weird that they went through this whole dog and pony show to make it seem like they were putting in some sort of serious ban against Russians when they've practically been competing in every sport.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, that's definitely a little strange and sort of uncertain as to how all that played out. You know, and I know there are some who did not make it here because of the doping issue individually. But, yeah, it's sort of surreal to see it, and it almost makes you wonder why it seems so heavy-handed the way it was, like, we're not going to let the Russians in, and then they're going to be Olympic athletes from Russia, and they're not going to have their flag. But it seems just kind of normal to me. Like, everybody just knows they're from Russia, and they just have a different name on their uniform.
Yeah, and they just don't get the national anthem if they win stuff, but it really hasn't. Yeah, it's weird. It's like it was a big show to look like we're being really tough on this, but then more kind of like backdoor, we're gonna tell everybody we're really upset with you, but you can still come, we'll still take your money, we'll still get to play. And I imagine, you know, they've had Olympics there, they want future Olympics to be there, and, you know, the IOC has had some issues over the years with how that all works out with the voting and things like that. So I think it raises a lot of questions. I imagine they'll answer in the years to come. What are you looking forward to this week? What's the exciting thing coming up?
Yeah, so you mentioned snowboard cross. There's some slope-style skiing now coming. We were all just really excited in the snowboard slope-style events last week. That was great to see Chloe Kim and then Ariel Gold get gold and bronze, respectively, in that. So we're looking forward to the men's slope-style skiing, where, you know, where they go through the course and they have the rails and the jumps and everything. We've got a couple of Utahns that we'll be watching. That's always exciting because that was one of the first events in Sochi where the U.S. swept the podium. You had Josh Christensen, Gus Kenworthy, Nick Gepper, who's from Indiana, not too far from you guys, that they swept the podium in that. And so we're going to see if they can do well again. That's one thing I'm looking forward to. We'll have bobsled. That'll be big this week. You'll start seeing more of that now that the luge and skeleton events are wrapping, because the bobsled, I mean, those things just wreck the sliding courses. I mean,
oh, do they really? They have to save that.
Incredibly heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they get the luge and the skeleton out of the way first because it's not as invasive on the surface. So two-man, four-man bobsled, which they call bobsleigh in the Olympics for whatever reason. there'll be bobsledding next week as well. And then women's figure skating, of course, will always be a big draw for spectators.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm not super familiar with the women's because we've been focused so much on Nathan Chen. But, we'll be up in the mountains. Ted Ligety, who's one of the sort of promoted athletes from these games, he'll be in the giant slalom tomorrow, Sunday here, Saturday night in prime time back home. We'll be watching Ted Ligety, of course. He's a Park City guy, born and bred. So, yeah, there's quite a bit to look forward to still yet.
That sounds good. Well, enjoy the week. We'll try to check in with you next weekend if you're available and have a couple of minutes. Everybody listening, follow Andrew on Twitter at KSL Andrew. He's tweeting like crazy about his experiences at the Olympics, so it's a good follow there. Thanks so much, as always, Andrew. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Enjoy it. Stay out of trouble there in Pyeongchang. Andrew Wittenberg from KSL in Salt Lake City at KSL Andrew on Twitter.